Good Up is our space to talk about those experiences in life we didn't know we all had in common. We're the after work happy hour conversation with your best friend.
You got up bad, like, hello.
The place where you bring up the hard parts of life, the ones that made you laugh, and the things that made you who you are. Because who said becoming Good Up wasn't a little bit uncomfortable? Stay tuned for more information about this week's episode.
The obsession with virginity.
Virginity.
That patriarchal, everyone's obsession with like virginity comes from a lot of people's religious beliefs and how they believe that a woman is supposed to be pure and untouched and perfect and ready for a man.
Like, you can still be a virgin and pure, but you can still be hell on wheels. Like, you can still be hell on wheels. You can still be a bitch to anybody.
But not only that,
all the time.
Not only that, it goes back to the episode that we had on virginity and how we were talking about the fact that like there's this pressure through religion and through patriarchy for women to be pure and virginal and ready for their first husband, yet there's no pressure on men. It goes back to what I was talking about with this guy in middle school. Yeah. I was supposed to be this perfect Christian, but his family thought he was the most perfect little Christian boy. He was out here fucking everything that moved.
You know, and let's talk about this, right? Because you're putting all this pressure on little girls to be virgins, right? To be virgins, right? And then as soon as they marry whoever they're supposed to marry, now you're putting pressure on her to be popping, pussy popping on a handstand. Like, and now she has all this pressure to be doing all the things so her husband don't stray. Because when he does stray, the first question is, well, what were you doing to make him stray? Well, bitch, I don't even know how to fuck. Like, I don't know what to do because I was told not to do it. He don't know how to do this shit. He's been out here slinging dick his whole life. So he's bored with my ass because I genuinely don't know how to make it pop. Like, what? Like, nobody ever talks about that.
It's okay. So definitely the virginity part. But then let's talk about the pressure of marriage is like this golden ticket to certain things. Like, you're keeping yourself pure for this guy, and people in the church are idolizing marriage as marriage is like the ultimate goal of everyone. And marriage is not the ultimate goal for me. I feel like it's not the ultimate goal for me, because that doesn't mean I made it in the world just because I'm married or this man got on his knee and proposed to me.
Like
of course that's one part of life, but marriage still is not going to determine whether or not, like, you get into heaven or hell. Like, it's just...
And but then there's also that belief that marriage is the band-aid that fixes all other mistakes.
Yes. Indeed.
Like, that's not going to make me clean.
Right. Like, if you have a child, it's cool as long as you had that child in wedlock.
Right.
If you do certain things, it's cool as long as you do it with your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, that's not it to me. And I don't know.
And then men also, I'm sorry to cut you off, but men also don't want to marry someone who's too experienced sexually, right? So they want to marry that woman that's respectable, but then they're bored with her. And they can't even bring themselves to be freaky with their women. So what do? They cheat. And they really enjoy themselves and they be their full selves with their mistresses because they don't ever see her as somebody worth being married to. But that's what they're being really open and their full selves with. And their wife is at home miserable and wondering why he won't touch me. He sees you as a fucking virgin.
Who was that pastor? He looked like the Mucinex booger from the commercials. He keeps cheating on his wife like every 2 weeks and then apologizing for it.
Isn't that all about John Gray? I was over the line. Sorry. Who?
John Gray.
Mm. And his wife, I don't know. You know, I don't know these Christian people.
It's not right.
No, yeah, it's
several times.
The Mystics girl.
I'm sorry, he does look like.
He doesn't ever wear a green suit.
He do look like the Mucinics booger. Talk about John Gray, Phoenicia.
Oh. Okay. Well, one, John Gray. Okay, so I don't know if he still preaches at Lakewood, but he was an associate pastor at Lakewood here in Houston. So he was basically well known as being this down-to-earth pastor. Him and his wife, super transparent about every issue that they have. But he's cheated on his wife like...
Not every issue.
Time.
Oh, hey, I said, you ain't shit for that. Oh!
Paige cheated on his wife like several times, but like, yeah, they have. And he has, supposedly he has a child with a person that he cheated on his wife with. Mm-hmm. Now, the first time I ever heard about him cheating on his wife publicly was this very, not the first, well, wait, because it's been like several times. The very first time is when they actually got word from the actual woman who he cheated with, and she actually outed him about it. And
I was like, where's my child support, big boy? What's up?
Wait, like, did she really just say, not the John Gray that I know, because this man, like, to me, in my eyes, like, damn, like, he was super cool. He could do no wrong. But you literally, like, cheated on your wife, and then it makes sense because at your 8-year wedding anniversary, I had this big, huge vow renewal, and you bought her a Porsche, I want to say a Porsche truck, or a Lamborghini.
Let me tell you something. You cheat on my ass. I'm the first lady of this church. You're goddamn right. You're buying me a Porsche. One of my friends who's married, her husband did something trifling. And let me tell you, my girl was like, let me tell you something. New ring. I want it. The bank account. And like, I'm taking charge of all the money. And I'm like, well, that, maybe I can take a husband. If I get to do all that because I'm cheating on me, maybe I do want a husband.
So honestly, I wanted Phoenicia to bring up John Gray because this is another issue that I have with Christianity as it's traditionally presented to us. It's this idea that the pastor is this human being who can do no wrong. There's so many issues with the church, right? And again, for those of you listening to this podcast episode who are, you know, traditional churchgoers, look, boo-boo, I have some issues with the structure as it is, and I'm going to need you to let me call those issues out. And if you don't, that's fine, but I do. One, it's these issues with pastors who are continuously presented as these perfect people who continue to show us that, one, they're not, because nobody's perfect, but two, they do the worst shit, like publicly cheat on their wives multiple times and apologize for it. John Gray came out here and said, you know, I have a problem and God is working through me. Boy, if you don't.
Shut up. Stop it.
I was like, sir, don't do that.
I will not accept
it. Yourself.
And that's the thing. If you want to be a hoe, go be a hoe. Just don't be a pastor while you be a hoe.
Right. How are you leading people and telling people all the things they need to do to avoid going to hell when you're doing one of the number one things that can land your ass in hell?
This is the next thing. And Phoenicia mentioned a good point, which is when she was talking about, you know, the church's lack of empathy when it comes to mental health issues and their members going to therapy and wanting to pray it all away. My next issue with traditional Christianity as it is community involvement. Mm. There are lots of churches who they go feed the homeless. You know, a lot of churches have different social service things going on with them. But I will say this. The vast majority of the churches that I went to, all those tithes and offerings that we were paying, those churches weren't doing shit for nobody around them. They weren't involved in the communities. They weren't doing social services. They weren't putting money back into the hands of the people who needed it the most. These community activists that we see out here, people like the Black Lives Matter organizations, people who are, you know, fighting against things like defunding the police and corruption and systematic racism, I personally feel like they're giving more of their souls and bodies and livelihoods to causes that help their communities versus these big ass mega churches around them. And that might just be me. So we could
drag. This feels like a Christianity drag fest.
It really is.
I feel like we need to pull back. I love how we've been dragging
this. We're going to pull back the reins a little bit. And I'm going to let you guys know I'm probably going to split this episode into two because it's going to be long. But, you know, we could drag the church all day. But something else that I really want us to touch on is things, you know, these other elements of spirituality that I think especially Black people, younger Black people are starting to explore. And this is not something new. I think that Black people have always tried to explore their spirituality in other ways. Mm-hmm. But I do see people, for example, on Twitter, I saw somebody say that, you know, a lot of people are starting to refer to God as like the universe now. I don't like that. Or a lot of people are starting to talk about manifestation versus prayer. And I don't like that.
Which is all the same shit. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but literally, y'all, it's all the same shit.
We're going to talk about that. I promise.
Got it from.
Or, you know, there are people who have, you know, conflicts or issues with Black people believing in astrology. Or, you know, and Deidre, I know this is something very personal to you because you now do things like readings and natal charts and things like that. Or Black people owning crystals. One thing that I want to use this episode for is, one, to educate people on what those things actually are for those of you who, you know, might just be curious about it. But also just to have that conversation on, can Black people who believe in Christianity to an extent, for example, people like maybe me or Phoenicia, who we believe in a God, we still believe in the elements of Christianity that we were taught to an extent when we were growing up, mm-hmm. but maybe we want to learn more about our zodiac sign. Maybe we want to learn more about crystals. Maybe we want to know if there are different rituals that we can do to bring ourselves peace or to practice self-care. Is that a direct contradiction to us being
Christian? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's the reason why, and that's to answer your question, well, in two ways, that's the main reason why I felt more at home when I started doing my research on African religions, because that's one of the few religions that, one, do not indoctrinate people. They don't come looking for you. They don't come knocking on your door, but they welcome everybody. There's plenty of Christians who actually get like Ifa readings and things of that nature. But in any case, to focus more on the spirituality as a whole, you can absolutely be Christian and get your crystals. You can absolutely be Christian and get your natal chart readings, your tarot readings. You can absolutely be Christian and also involve yourself in this more spiritual side of things. Because really and truly, Christianity is a form of spirituality, whether we want to believe it or not. The pastors who are actually doing their job the way they're supposed to, at the end of the day, religious or spiritual leaders are vessels of God. Certain people are put on this world, and like Phoenicia said earlier, every single body has a spiritual gift. Some people's spiritual gift is receiving messages from the divine. That's what I refer to my God as. It's just the divine. That's the universe. That's the God that I was. So I just like to say the divine. It just feels better for me. Sometimes I say God when I'm in more of a mixed crowd, but God for me is not, you know, Jehovah or what have you. It's the divine. It's the universe. It's the bigger being that makes everything accessible to us. There are people here who get messages from God and share those messages, including pastors. Pastors, usually they feel inspired, right? They'll be watching a movie and something would happen in the movie and it inspires an entire sermon. That's a message from God, right? From the divine. So you can absolutely, that's what I love about spirituality, is it's all encompassing. There's no one way to do it. And there's no, what I love most is that there's no closed doors, right? It's like the most welcoming area ever. Like, it's like, oh, you go to church next week and you want to wear some crystals? Okay, cool. Like, what kind of crystals you need? Like, I love it. And I know plenty of Christians who do have crystals. I know plenty of Christians who do burn sage and things of that nature. And I know some who do all those things and have no belief in the religions that we grew up believing, but they're the kindest people I know.
So talk a bit more, sorry to interrupt you. Talk a bit more about crystals. Like, what is the whole purpose of them? What do they mean? Are they magical? Does owning a crystal change your fucking life? Like, what does it do?
So crystals are basically from the earth. And I think that's another thing, is a lot of spiritual practices involve natural things from the earth. And crystals are just that. They're these minerals that are formed from the earth. They all have their own healing properties, their own energy, right? Some crystals help you with healing specific chakras, help you with even healing your mind, right? Some crystals help with protecting you from bad energy. Like, literally, like, some crystals are intended for, especially if you're an empath and people just gravitate toward you and you just absorb people's energy a lot. You wear certain crystals, okay? Those crystals' job, especially once you charge them up and give them a job, their job is to absorb that energy and protect you from absorbing that energy. You know what I mean? And there's rituals that go with it. You cleanse your crystal, you charge your crystals. And some crystals are not meant to be with you forever. Sometimes somebody will buy a crystal for a specific job, and that crystal, once that job is done, the crystal sometimes just kind of disappears. Sometimes you just find yourself not able to find that crystal anymore. The job is done. And sometimes the crystal doesn't resonate with you anymore, and you can pass it on to somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard so many beautiful stories about crystals, but I do know that sometimes there's like this performative spirituality where people kind of indulge in all the spiritual and sacred tools, rather than just kind of gravitating toward what resonates with them. So like when I buy crystals, I just go to the metaphysical store and whatever kind of just, because sometimes I feel like they be screaming at me. Like I'll be walking, minding my business, and I'll just like feel this need to turn my head. And then there's this one crystal almost like glowing. Like I was in Atlanta a few months ago and I was in this metaphysical store. And this was right around the full moon. It was a beautiful day. But in any case, I'm in the crystal shop. I'm walking around. I'm getting my sage and things of that nature. I thought I was done. Because like I said, I don't go with a shopping list. I just go and whatever calls to me, I grab it, you know. And half the time, I don't know its purpose. I read up on it once I actually choose it, right? Because I feel like the crystals kind of choose me. But in any case, I surely was walking through the store. I was just about to leave. And I just kind of felt the need to just look to my left. And there was this gorgeous little crystal just chilling there. Just like, hey, girl, what's up? And I'm like, oh, you want to come on with me? Let's go. And I grab the crystal and I read it. And it's all about like, it's a rainbow moonstone. And this particular crystal is intended to help you to get more in touch with your inner goddess, right? And that was a point where I was on a mission to figure out the balance between my feminine and masculine energy, where I was like, I want a balance. I don't want to just be going, going, going. You know, I want to learn how to take a step back and just lay down sometimes, right? Because feminine energy is about stillness and just receiving. And I was having a hard time with that at the time. And sure enough, that rainbow moonstone was like, bitch, I'm the crystal for
that you. That rainbow moonstone was trying to get you ready for this this medical procedure that you just had.
Pretty much.
And this bed rest.
Listen, because the last time I hurt my foot, when I hurt my left ankle, I didn't, you know, I forced myself to walk sooner than I needed to. That rainbow moonstone got me over here like, hey, can you make me a cup of tea? Like learning how to ask for what I need and stay my ass in the bed. Okay. But I love crystals. I love all those sacred tools, but I'm also not like, I don't have a dependency on them. Cause I feel like some people, a big part of spirituality is doing shadow work, right? And shadow work is what I talked about earlier, looking within. Because it's easy to have certain things happen in your life that make your life hard, that are traumatizing. It's easy to just hold on to those things and just blame those things for the bad things that are currently happening. So, I mean, there's no spirituality without shadow work, obviously, right? Because what I love most about spirituality is I think that that's the easiest way to find the closest connection to God or whatever your divine source is. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, there has to be a willingness to just kind of let go of the things that's happened that leave you feeling hurt and just say, okay, this doesn't serve me anymore. What was the lesson in that? How do I learn from that? And how do I move forward so that I can be closer to God? Because I am of God. Like God made me for a reason, right? I get to enjoy this life. I get to enjoy this lifetime. So let me figure out what it's going to take to let that go. You know what I mean? But that there's a part of spirituality that a lot of people don't want to do. And it's just that, the shadow work. So then you do have some people who are indulging in performative spirituality, which is what I like to call it. People who like to change their appearance, right? People who go from being their normal selves to being draped in like dashikis and ankhs and shit and having all the sage and, you know, tarot cards and stuff. But they're not really doing that inner work so they can be at peace. Like, that's the most important aspect to spirituality, right? It's not about, oh, you're going to go to hell if you don't do inner work. But it's like, you're never going to feel good inside if you don't do that inner work. You're always going to find yourself looking outside for that happiness that you're trying to find, when really the happiness is right inside you. You just got to pull that bitch out and let go of all that shit that's not serving you. You know what I mean? I had to do that shit. Let me tell you, the last year was trash. However, there were some beautiful things that happened and I learned so many life lessons. And even that day that I went to the crystal shop and I found one crystal, I forget the name, but it was a beautiful black one. That was the purpose of that crystal, was to help release things that don't serve you and release like childhood traumas and things of that nature. And listen, and it definitely helped, because that crystal low key, it doesn't resonate with me anymore. Every time the full moon comes around and I want to charge my crystals and stuff, that crystal doesn't really, I just don't feel a need to go grab it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep you until I feel like there's somebody I can pass you on to. You know what I mean? Yeah, like hoarding them is not necessary. But everybody's welcome to get crystals. And I encourage everybody, because these are elements from the earth. These elements were brought here. Like God literally put these things here. They serve spiritual purposes. Like the smoke of sage helps you to connect with the other side, right? People are terrified of that. There's no reason to be. Like, our guardian angels are here. Okay.
I will never forget when I moved into this house.
Bro, go get you some sage. Go
listen. So this, and it's funny because this whole episode topic came about because when I moved into the house that we're in now, there was a day that I came into the house and I walked upstairs in the house and I was about to leave. And it felt, y'all, and I know sometimes you just kind of feel things because the house is empty and blah, blah, blah. No, y'all, fuck that. It felt somebody like someone, there. It literally felt like someone walked behind me from one room to the other, like walked past me from behind. And I felt it, like the hair on my arm stood up and it wasn't a good feeling, right? Oh, and I remember, like, it didn't even feel like, you know, some air past me or like a spirit. It felt like a tall man
walked behind me. He brushed you?
Nothing touched me. It just, and the thing is, like, I could have felt like I almost heard it on the floor too, like someone walked behind me, right?
Yeah.
And I went home and I didn't tell Deidre about it yet. I went home and I was freaked out and I told Steven about it. And Steven was like, well, you're probably just, cause I'm a little paranoid. I get spooked easily. Okay, y'all. I'm afraid of the dark. I don't fuck with, you know, random noises in the house. If Steven's not here, if Steven is not here, all the lights are on. I need to see the serial killer coming. Okay.
You and Dylan, I swear.
So Steven just kind of brushed me off. Cause he was like, yo, like you think everything is haunted. Like you be hearing shit. Like, so he didn't mind me. But then that night I went to sleep and I experienced full on sleep paralysis for like the first time in my life. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced weird things in my sleep before when I was back home. Like I remember being young and feeling like someone sat on the edge of my bed and feeling the bed like come down, like someone was sitting there. But this felt like someone was on top of me, pushing me into the bed. And I was in my sleep screaming and nothing was coming out. And mind you, I talk in my sleep. I make noise in my sleep. My friends know. Phenicia knows. She slept in the same room as me before. I just be randomly talking or like in my sleep. Just random shit. I didn't make a
peep
of no. And this is the thing. Steven, if I make noise in my sleep, Steven will wake up and nudge me so I can wake up. In my sleep paralysis, I was trying to scream and I was awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to scream and nothing was coming out. And I felt like I was like on my side like this. And I felt like someone was pushing me into the pillow. Right. And I promise y'all it wasn't Steven. He ain't trying to kill me yet. But
I have a theory, but I don't want to spook you girls out. Because we talked about it. Your mom told you what it was, but she was right. But I wanted to expand on it. But only if you girls are comfortable getting there.
I mean, well, we're not going to expand on it because I don't want people out of my business. But
okay, we're going to talk about it offline then because I'm going to tell you what I think.
So, I mean, no, but I knew that somehow, like, there was this understanding in me that what had happened in the house earlier that day was connected to what happened to me that night in my sleep, right? And I knew that Deidre had experience with, like, things like this and that she would know what to do. And I was like, well, should I sage the house? Like, what should I do? And I remember I talked to you and Diamond that day. And y'all was like, you need to get some sage. You need to get some Palo Santo. You need to go in the house and tell our spirit, like, yo, whoever is
here, you go. You need
to get the fuck out. Like,
and you literally can talk to them like that. It's time to go. You're not welcome here.
And I remember struggling. You're right. And I remember struggling with that, not only because I was afraid, but struggling with that because I was like, is it not enough to just go to the house and pray? Because I feel like if I do this other thing, then that conflicts with everything I've been taught, like as a Christian. And I was like, am I going into the house to like invite demons in or some shit? Like,
can I just like, just real quick? That's no different than what the pastors say. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Exactly.
You could have said that. It's the same exact thing. Cause it's telling them they're not welcome here.
So I had to sort of come to terms with like, okay, hey, Isa, just because you're doing this doesn't mean you no longer a Christian. Like Christians, there are Christians who use sage. There are Christians who use Palo Santo. There are Christians who have prayers at their house to remove what they think is like demon spirits from their children and shit. Like people of all religions and all denominations do rituals in some sort of way. So I had to like come to terms with it. Went to the house, used the sage, used the Palo Santo. I set my intentions in my house. I not only used that moment to tell whoever wasn't here to get the fuck out. And apparently he left. He was very nice about it. But
yeah,
I mean, not only did I do that, but I also, with the Palo Santo, like, set my intentions for my business. And I was like, you know, in my office, like, this space is going to give birth to a successful business. And I was in my bedroom, like, this bedroom is going to be a safe space for my marriage. And this is going to be a peaceful place for me and my husband. Like, just everywhere in the house, I was doing that, right? I was in the kitchen, like, I gonna cook some good ass shit in this
room. Period.
And we had a very successful Thanksgiving after that, so I think it worked. But still, just like, I mean, and the reason I'm sharing this story is because I know that there are people listening to this podcast who want to learn more about maybe their zodiac sign, who maybe feel connected or called to own a crystal when they see other people talking about it, and who are scared because of everything they've been taught about religion. And I want y'all to know that I'm very much still a Christian in so many aspects. I believe in God, and for a number of reasons. One being that I went through a serious car accident and walked away mostly uninjured, and I'm still alive twice. And there's no way that somebody wasn't trying to take me out, and God was like, we're going to keep her here for a little while longer. But still, anyway, I want y'all to know that there is nothing innately wrong or demonic or, you know, first class ticket to hell about you exploring your spirituality in a number of different ways. It doesn't have to be crystals. It doesn't have to be, like Deidre said, shadow work. It can be anything you want it to be. For some people, their spiritual journey is nature, is going on hikes, is connecting with the earth in other ways, right? I guess my next question, I'm sorry for talking so long, but my next question, I guess, for you, Phanisha, would be, you know, have you ever like gotten into things like that or been curious about things like that? And like, what has that been like for you?
I definitely like dabbled in other things that would kind of like be that physical factor for me to make that relationship more concrete. So, and I feel like that's really what it is. When you want to do the crystal, when you want to do yoga, when you want to do waist beads, it's literally like a physical thing that you need to have kind of like, how'd I say, activate it. So when you activate that, it gives you like that closeness. It's like that tangible thing that you have, like, you know, traditional Christians, they have the Bible when they feel like.
And the crucifix and things like that. Yeah.
Yes. So it's like, for me, I've definitely tried yoga. I love doing yoga. Mm-hmm. So my first experience doing yoga, I wasn't really too into it because it was like, dang, like these positions are like, I'm not doing that. Like, no. But then the second time I went, I actually had like, I had a connection because one, I cried. So it was like, I don't know if it was a playlist that she was playing or what, but it's like once the yoga class was over, you always have like the downtime when you come back and you like give yourself time to like really feel.
That's my favorite part.
Listen, like, one, like she turned the lights off and everybody was like laying on their backs. And she was just like, right now, you're letting the practice, like, calm over you. You're letting things, like, just fall off or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, it's super quiet in the room. And all you hear is, like, it would be a serious, like, moment. Like, that was it for me. I was like, dang, like, did I really just do that? Because it was, like, it was literally a moment where you connected. And it was like, God, like, really, like, I can feel you. Like, this is connection. So definitely yoga to me. I hate when people say yoga is demonic. Because yoga
is... Wait, people say that?
People will find anything demonic about anything if it contradicts what they believe.
Yes, anything that contradicts what's in the Bible, what's being put...
Yeah, I know they do demonize a lot of things.
Like, yoga is demonic, child smoking weed is demonic, like, burning sage is demonic, like...
I'll meet y'all in hell, because it's a little bit, like, listen.
Like, it's just, like, little stuff like that, but definitely the yoga, I definitely do that. Waist beads, I do wear waist beads, but I'm real intentional about the waist beads that I wear. Because one, like Deidre said, like you have to make sure it's, you're doing a shadow work and it's not performative. Mm. Like it has to have the stuff behind it and why you're wearing it. So the waist beads that I chose, like they have like the similar like color tones as the crystals do, like the red, the brown, and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I have a red pair of waist beads on. Oh, and I have
yes, root chakra. Come on, root chakra. Yes.
like when I learned about all that type of stuff, I was like, ooh, let me try that. So I went and I got beaded, and the beads I chose, the red and the brown. So the red is assertiveness, power, what is passion and energy. So those are things that I want to welcome into my. So, and then the brown is for the stability. You're being rooted in something. So it's like, I want to welcome those things.
And yes.
Waist beads, like, they don't call it waist beads for nothing, because the waist is like, that's your core.
Yep.
So that's like, you, like, that's what builds you up, you know? So it's kind of like you're walking with this rod, like you're aligned.
Yeah, that's what you are. And even when you think of the chakras, it goes from the root to the crown, right? And it's funny you brought up waist beads, because I actually, you're going to enjoy this. Hey, Aiza, Radiant is custom making me a set of waist beads.
Yo, I need some, man.
So she's made me waist beads before, but I recently found out that I need to do some root chakra work. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to get me the red crystals and the things of that nature.
All my chakras fucked up.
I was like, I want to wear some waist beads in that area, and I want to make sure to wear the specific color. I also am going to be doing some sacral chakra work. But I reached out to Radiance, because for me, like you said, Mama, it's all about intention, right? So I know Radiance, and I've also read Radiance's chart. And I'm like, Radiance is one of those, she's like a little earth angel. She has the purest heart. So I'm like, if there's anybody that I would want, I can make my own waist beads, right? But I want her, because her energy is pure. And she's going to put so much love into it. And she is an artist, and she's sensitive about her shit. So I said, listen, Mama, these are the colors I need. You have creative freedom. I'm getting some crystals that I want you to add to it. Okay. Have fun, right? Whatever. Because I know you are going to be really enjoying this process. So I actually need to send her the crystals, because they just came to me. But I got some red jasper. I got, I think I got a little bit of citrine. And she has these adorable little butterfly charms and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? You better just go off. Like, I cannot wait. But it's all about that intention. It's the love. It's the energy that she's using to make those beads. That's so sweet and full of love. And then it's my reasoning for wanting the beads. And of course, I'm going to charge them up when they get here, okay? In the new moon, because I'm setting some intentions and I'm rocking
my beads. I charge my crystals in a full moon.
I usually charge mine in a full moon. But since the full moon is about releasing energy and the new moon is about setting intentions, when those particular crystals get here, I'm going to burn some sage over them under a new moon, because I'm setting intentions to fully make sure that the root chakra and the sacral are aligned. Okay. Solar plexus and I, we almost there, you know?
And that's really what it's about. Like, when I got wrapped, it's like a sacred, like, ceremony between you and her. That's wrapping you, because the person that's wrapping you is the one that's really like charging that stuff into you, that wraps you. It's like, it's emotional, because as she's wrapping you, she's measuring and then she's tying things.
Yeah.
It's sitting like right and perfect.
Where it's supposed to be.
Right. And the lady who wrapped me, she kind of asked me like, okay, where do you want this to fall? Because apparently like where they fall exactly, it has a certain meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, depending on where in Africa, yeah.
Right. So it's like how high they sit or how low they sit. So both of my beads are like literally aligned together. Like, neither bead is higher than the other, because I just wanted
like
to
that. Be.
So it was a different moment for me. And I was even telling like my best friend who went with me, I was like, my core feels a little different after she like wrapped them, because it's like I started to feel the difference. Like, and it was kind of like, oh, like, is that really how it works? Like, as soon as you put them on, like, you feel the thing. Like, it was great for me. And I feel like it's also a good thing to really, really, really know and be intentional. Like, we keep saying, like, be intentional about the beads and the crystals and whatever you choose to do.
About anything you do.
Yes. So it's like you just have to really, really, really be sure about those things that you do, because at the end of the day, if you're just wearing it just to be cute, then you're really wasting time doing it.
And it's so funny, because I always tell my clients in a reading, like, your spirit guides are literally here telling you to ask for what you want, but don't waste their time. Do your part. Like, you can't expect from miracle. And I say it frankly, just like that, like, especially when I can feel their guides right up in the room, like screaming at me, I'm like, listen, they are right around you. filing their nails, waiting on you to ask for what you want. Make sure you're very clear about what you want and make sure you don't waste their time. That's the only rule. Don't be wasting the universe time, baby.
Exactly. Like, that's why I've never shunned any type of like spiritual practice. It doesn't matter what you do, because at the end of the day, like, I'm super inquisitive. Like, I want to know, like, what does this do for you? Like, what can it do for me if I tried it? Like, I'm really interested in getting into like the crystal situation, because I have a good friend who's really into the crystals and the astrology situation, like the aligning of the stars and like that. Like,
you know what? It's funny. Astrology is not even considered, it's not a spiritual practice, but it's a beautiful tool in spiritual practices. Like, when you really think about astrology itself, it's not spiritual, but a lot of spiritualists use it as a tool. Even I use that as a tool now for my readings, but I am an intuitive, so I end up getting a lot of messages from people's guides during their natal chart readings. So it's like, we're here to talk about the life that was pretty much set up for you by the universe, but then y'all guides are here with random messages. Like, I was doing a natal chart reading once, and I literally just blurted out, you need to reparent your inner child. And then I felt like, I was like, I swear to you, that wasn't me. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I was like, but it's very obvious that your ancestors want you to do that. Like, we can talk some more about that.
I mean,
but it's a granted, tool.
Yeah, like, I love it. Like, any aspect of that, like the astrology situation, for me, I feel like anything that I've seen with my sign, because I'm a Pisces, so anything with my sign is always like spot on. Like, loving water, the fish element, like, water calms me. So anytime water is around, I feel like I have this sense of like, it's cleanness, it's purity, is washing myself, like, things like that. Then the creativity, like, creativity associated with Pisces, being empathetic, and I think being impersonable.
I think this was an amazing conversation about just so many different aspects of religion and Christianity and the things we believe in and the things that we're starting to explore and starting to believe in. And as always, every episode that we have on the GoDup podcast is meant to start a conversation among you guys, among our listeners, right? This is not us telling you what to believe in. This is not us telling you to stop believing in Sky Daddy and go pick up your crystals and charge them in a full moon. Okay.
You can do both. You can do both.
Okay. You can absolutely do both. This is not meant. Yeah. It's not meant to convince you to be one person or the other, to believe in one thing or the other. It's just us trying to shake shit up in your living room and start the conversation with you. So the last thing that we love to do, of course, is listener letters. This is the part of our podcast where we either read questions coming from the audience or we read, you know, letters from y'all asking for advice. So this week, unfortunately, we didn't get any like super lengthy letters from our listeners. So guys, make sure if you have any pressing situations where you need advice, where you just want us to talk to you about your boo or anything you got going on in life, it could be career advice, it could be love advice, it could be life advice, it could be friendship advice, make sure to email us at goodappod@gmail.com or send us a DM on any of our social media platforms. We will answer on our podcast. But we do have two questions from the audience that came in on Twitter.
Oh.
So the first one was, how difficult was rebranding after changing the podcast name?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I feel like AI is better equipped to answer it.
So one, I don't think rebranding was difficult at all, because it was more about the image of the podcast and improving it versus changing every element about what the podcast is. So we're still very much, not much has changed since we, you know, were the Beautiful People podcast. I think what we did was just set intentions.
Hey, come on, baby.
Yes. we set our intentions for the type of podcast we want to be. And we're sort of heading in that direction. So it was less of a rebrand and more of just like a improvement, like a continuation of what we were already doing.
Let me tell you what it was. It was us stepping into our shit, into our bad bitch shit. It was us stepping into our purpose. That's what it really was.
Exactly. Because
the podcast is us. No matter what the name of the podcast is, no matter what the art is it the cover art, no matter what that is, the podcast is us, right? And what we bring to it, and that hasn't changed at all. Like, whether we were still the Beautiful People podcast or not, we would probably still be having this conversation, you know?
Exactly. But what I will say is, and this is why I think setting your intentions and stepping into your purpose is so important. The minute we did that rebrand and became the Good Up Podcast, I will tell y'all, I felt like there was a block as far as, okay. I don't know about you, Deidre, but for me creatively, like there was a block. I wasn't getting no episode ideas. I was having a hard time coming up with social media content. Like, yeah. I was scared. I was like, yo, what the fuck is going to happen to the future of this podcast if I can't come up with shit?
Yeah.
And the minute you and I talked and I was like, I want to rename the podcast. And I really, I had my reasons why, which we've spoken about before, but like,
yeah.
Something in me was like, you need to change the name of the podcast and y'all need to rebrand, right? And again, this goes back to spirit guides and God sending you messages and just you being still enough to listen to the universe around you. Mm-hmm. But I let myself listen, you know, and we changed the name and the artwork changed. I remember even the logo that we have now, I was literally fucking around on Canva. I was not trying to change the logo.
Let's talk about it because hey, he's gonna text me this fucking logo talking about some. What do you think? I was just fooling around.
I was literally just fucking around.
What do you mean you was just fucking around? This is our motherfucking logo. Like, it is gorgeous.
I literally was sitting there and like throwing things on the template, right? I was like, let me just throw a picture of Deidre on here. Let me just throw a picture of myself on here. Let me make it yellow. And I literally was sitting there like bored, just. And then I looked at it and I was like,
that shit looked like you hired a whole media marketing team, whatever the fuck them people. You know better than we. It looked like you hired friggin' okay. I'm a guest. Okay.
Listen.
Just give y'all a new logo. That thing was good as hell. Okay.
And I just, you know, I went with it. And the minute we decided to like change the name and change the logo and go on this new path, the social media content started coming back like to my brain. Like, you, Deidre knows whenever I type in a little note that we share, it pops up on her phone.
I be getting like, notifications in the middle of the night.
Okay. It's like, hey, Isa's editing. Yep. So, I mean, I don't know. It just, it just came together. And it wasn't hard at all. So to answer your question, like it was super easy because it was meant to happen, I guess.
And if you ask that question because you're thinking of rebranding something of your own, just do it, baby. Because it's better to do it and find out whether or not it's going to succeed than to spend forever in your head wondering if it's going to work out.
But make sure, I will say this, and this is my marketing communications bug coming up, and I know Phoenicia is going to agree with me on this. Make sure you ask yourself whether or not you truly need to rebrand or whether you need to just improve some things and do some research and see how you can make the product you currently have better.
Yes.
So don't feel like you have to do what we did and like shake the table and change everything up. There might just be some tweaks you need to make, some input you need to get, and you're good.
Yeah, for sure.
So the next question that we got is we got another one. They're so cute.
I love it. Thank y'all for sending questions. Y'all know I love answering questions.
We actually have four total because I'm going back to our mentions from last week too.
Period. So,
And by the way, that first question came from @ZWizard on Twitter. He also runs the platform State of the Territory VI. So shout out to you.
Oh, shout out to that. That just sounds like something I need to be. Am I even following him? Oh my gosh.
You should.
I probably am, to be honest. I just don't be on Twitter much.
Yeah.
Where I gave up on my Twitter.
Our next question came from @EP13WYO. This is a very extensive Twitter name, by the way. He asks, how hard is fighting the consistency bug of podcasting? If it's hard, what are some ways you get yourself to pod at a consistent schedule? So this is my advice to y'all. One, make sure that if you have a co-host that y'all are in constant communication about what works for you and what doesn't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that has allowed me and Deidre to have a podcast that has lasted as long as it has.
Yeah, it's true because we're very respectful of each other's time and each other's schedule. And we're very, very clear with each other on what works and what doesn't, like for sure.
Two, what I will say is plan in advance. So one thing Deidre and I have always done very well is that before we start recording, and we don't really record in seasons anymore, but before we start recording a new set of episodes or like the podcast comes back, we already have at least 10 episode topics planned out.
Yep.
And we make sure to have that written out and planned out, because if you're just going week to week, like, okay, we talked about this week, whatever this week, let's see what we'll talk about next week. If you're just reading it, don't trust your brain to have an idea the next week, because it might not.
Yeah.
You give yourself space.
Yeah. Especially when you have other things going on, right? Because I'm sure you're not only podcasting. So when you have an idea, write it down. And luckily, Hey Aiza is the one who's been doing this for us. You have a specific place to write it down and a formula in which you write it down. Okay. Because that helps a lot, you know, significantly.
And then, I mean, the next thing I would say is to give yourself time to both record and to edit. So before, when we first started the podcast, and this is not something that people actually knew until they came on the podcast, was that we would record episodes sometimes almost a month in advance. So we would be recording an episode about, like, I don't know, we would be recording like episode 25, and then the episode that was actually coming out that week would be like episode 19.
Yeah.
So we were very far in advance. The reason that we're not so much doing that anymore is because we want to remain current, and we want to be able to talk about things with you guys like the week that they're happening. But that does require us to record at least a few days early and to edit. Like, I'm literally going to be editing this episode right after we get off this call.
Not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but the other beautiful thing about, the thing that I miss about us pre-recording so far in advance, was that created a little wiggle room if by chance one of us wasn't feeling too well. Because we've had days where it's like, yo, girl, I don't, can we do this tomorrow? Like, that gave us the freedom to update our schedule. And that was one of the things that made me say, damn, I love my life. Like, I love that what I'm doing grants me the freedom to say, girl. And the same thing goes, and Hayes would be so hard on herself, like, Deidre, I'm not feeling it, I'm so sorry.
I'm like, Deidre, can we record next week?
Please. And I'm like, girl, you're a human being who needs your rest, okay? Shout out to my rainbow moonstone.
Exactly. No, but just, I mean, I think that the biggest key to consistency is be realistic about what you can do and when you can do it. And then just kind of build your podcast around you and your lifestyle. Don't try to be the podcaster that you listen to. Don't try to be me and Deidre. Don't try to be, you know, JG and Accents podcast. Like, try to be you.
When you edit this, you have to, like, do a little, you know, that little fancy rewind.
Yeah.
I think you need to do that there, because that is very necessary. People don't need a repeat of what they're already listening to. They need you. Bring yourself to the podcast. Okay?
And that goes for podcasters, content creators, just human beings. Like, just be you and build whatever it is you want to build around your life and around yourself. But let's move on to the next question.
That was a good one, girl. Ooh,
I know.
The gems. Let me find out.
So the next question is Jay married?
Because that graphic looked good and your new last name is on there.
The new last name is on there. So, okay, guys, this is why on the graphic, on the logo for the podcast, the last name is Quiñones Ivory. So I am getting married soon. I'm not married now, but I am getting married soon. And I'm lazy and I don't like to do things twice. So I, while I was designing the logo, decided that I might as well just put my new last name on there. So that I won't have to go back and add it to the logo later, which literally would only take me 5 minutes. But if I don't have to fucking,
I was gonna say, in the moment you could have met both of them and saved them and then upload the one. But I get it, because
then I would have to go back and upload.
And first of all, I'm surprised so many people noticed it. Okay,
I got, when that graphic came out, everybody was like, Quiñones Ivory. I was like, but are you subscribed to the podcast?
Damn.
Are you subscribed?
Yeah, you were my last name, but did you subscribe? Okay, are you a patron? Okay.
But no, guys, I am not married yet, but it is happening soon. And of course, I will talk about it on the podcast when it does happen, if I feel
like
talking
about it. Can I just say, I love saying your name. Hey, Isaac Quiñones Ivory. I
know.
It's so sexy.
it sounds very like, it sounds like I wrote a book.
You sound like a Proverbs 31 woman.
Yo, Do I have to wear robes, purple robes, or weave robes? Of what does
you
it say?
Tell that husband of yours who's famous at the gate to get you to find
it. Right. Do you know everybody in town yet? Get your shit together.
Hello.
But yeah, to answer that question, and that question came from our girl, Misha Nicole. No,
hey,
Misha.
Girl. Oh, hey, Misha, what's up, baby?
Jay is not married. All right. So the next question, and this question came from, let me read the username, at xTariq on Twitter. Tariq asked, what are your tart preferences?
And I'm first of all, I feel like everybody knows that we are a guava tart.
Yeah, this podcast. You know, I think I gave them the wrong answer. I told them that I think that we're split down the middle, but we're actually a guava tart supporting podcast.
Finisha, are you aware of the significance of guava tarts and just tart flavors in our community?
Not at all.
Let's enlighten her because she deserves to know.
So
and
for
I think
those,
we should send you some tarts. Too,
yeah,
so
I need to send you some tarts. I need to send you some tarts.
Yeah, we're gonna send you some tarts so you can be a part of the conversation.
I'm not going to send you any pineapple, but I'm gonna send
you
some tarts.
Don't waste the money. Don't waste the money about pineapple.
So
the
okay,
only pineapple needs to be eaten as fresh. Okay,
so
tarts.
So tarts are a traditional dessert kind of snack situation that we eat in the Virgin Islands, and they're especially significant around the holidays. So people make them, you know, as you know, they bring them as dessert for like Thanksgiving meals, or they eat them around Christmas time.
Anytime there's a party, really,
yeah.
Somebody always has a tart lady.
My
sister on deck.
And this is how important they are to the culture. My sister had tarts at her wedding, okay?
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah,
if
I know, right?
Tarts, I would be like, yo, you went to that wedding?
They were so clutch. They were so clutch. But, okay, so they come in three major flavors. Now people are sort of adding their own twist to them, but they come in three major flavors. And by flavors, I mean the filling that's in the tart. So they come in guava, coconut, and pineapple. Most people who have common fucking sense love guava tart, okay?
Yeah.
Close second, and the debate is usually between guava and coconut, right? And it's funny because like people base other people's entire personalities on what type of tart
they
like.
Yeah.
So like if you like guava, like, you know, that's a given. If you like coconut, okay, maybe we can argue, we can debate.
Yeah.
If you like pineapple, garbage, trash.
Bye. You gotta go.
You're wild.
Goodbye. What are you doing here? Who invited you? So we all know that we're a guava tart family. Now I have admitted on the show, and I thank God, thank you guys for not crucifying me. I learned to like coconut tarts because guava tarts go so fast at the parties that I'd rather have a tart than no tart. You know what I mean? And some people do make some good coconut tarts.
I actually like both.
I actually like them equally. Like I've had really good coconut tarts, right? So when the battle first happened, I was staying very silent because I'm like, well, I actually like them equally, right? And then somebody fucking tagged me. Well, Deidre, what's your favorite tart? And I was like, well, you know, you guys, I actually like them. Can't we just get along? And it was the screaming emojis, the red exclamation marks. Pick one! And I was like, guava.
Yeah, no, if I had to choose one, it would be guava. So thank you, X Tariq, for asking our tart preferences. This is a guava tart supporting podcast. Let it be known,
well, you know,
if you are a maker of guava tarts, we would like to be sponsored.
Please, I'm getting a PO box. By all means, send me as many tarts as you like, baby. And I was on Instagram because somebody sent me a page from somebody from home who makes tarts and they ship them all over the world. She hasn't responded to my DM yet. I have questions and the answers. Maybe I'm going to comment on one of her posts. I'm going to be that person. Like, can you please respond to my DM? Because I need some tarts.
Yeah. I want to say my mom is, you know, has learned how to make tarts too, so I'm about to like message her and be like, yo, Christmas is next week. I don't see a single tart.
Yeah, your mom needs to send you some tarts. I know how to make tarts, but I'm at the point like I don't want to bake for myself anymore. I just want to buy things like everybody else.
I don't blame
you.
You know, I don't blame you.
I get the feeling that my man actually was testing me when we first met, you know, the first time I went to see him, because you know we're doing this long distance thing or whatever. First time I went to see him, he brought me a big old box of tarts to the airport. And I was like, how sweet. But now I'm realizing his ass was checking to see what kind of tarts.
Yeah, he wanted to know if he was a guava woman or if he needed to leave you in a ditch somewhere.
And it's funny because we were fighting over the guava tarts, and that's when he probably said, oh, she a keeper. Okay. Oh, we like all guava tarts.
But anyway, before we go off on a tangent, I want
to... This is a religion too.
Exactly. Tart could be a religion if you want to practice it.
Absolutely.
So
guava people, I don't know whether you should make it from real guavas or guava cakes.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm sorry.
I want to thank Phoenicia for coming on the podcast. Phoenicia, can you tell the good listeners where we can find you and also what we can look forward to, what you got going on, where we need to be subscribing and clicking and all that good stuff?
Of course. Well, of course, my business, the Immuna Creative Agency. Immuna, by the way, means faith in Hebrew. So there's always a meaning behind whatever names I give, whatever businesses that I have. So
I love that.
The Creative Agency, you can find that business venture on Instagram at Immuna Creative Agency. And then also the podcast that, hey, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, I am launching my very, very own podcast, the Unconventional Christian Podcast, Unconventional without an E, because we're not like anybody else. So, you know, I just, you know, like the different meanings and stuff like that.
I don't know
why they be like that, but yes. But the Unconventional Christian Podcast launches in January, on January 1st. That is when my first episode. So I'm super excited. I had to tell Hayaza so many times that I really thought about not putting this out because I just
had put it out.
Listen, I had to take it back to the drawing board like 5 different times to figure out what I really, really needed to do in order to get this done, but thank God it's done. Filmed the entire first episode while I was sick with COVID, so that's another thing. So, yeah. Okay. It's a lot.
I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. And that IG is The Unconventional Christian Pod, P-O-D, and Unconventional without an E, on Instagram.
So I will make sure to tag the podcast when we promote this episode on our social media so that you guys can find it and make sure that you go listen to the first episode and support the episode and support our girl, because we are not the only podcast that you guys should be listening to. Okay.
Hello. You should have one for each day of the week.
Right. Go listen to Talk That Talk. Go listen to the Unconventional Christian Podcast. Go listen to The Nerds with Accents. Go listen to Call Her Daddy. Go listen to Horrible Decisions. Please go listen to Horrible Decisions. Go listen to Something About Nothing. Okay, shout out to Malcolm. Go listen to Something About Nothing.
When is Malcolm coming back? Malcolm, please come back.
Yeah, we might have something for you guys in the next few episodes. Malcolm might be back in the pod very soon. Andre, I know you're listening. I need to reach out to you. You might be coming back to the pod
soon. Bring Issa and Nia.
Yeah, we need to bring Marcelina and Issa on the podcast. Yeah. Listen, guys, we have so much for you in the next couple of weeks in terms of episodes, and I'm so excited. We are just getting started. So make sure that you go on social media, hashtag Good Up Tuesdays, to tell us that you're listening. Make sure you watch the YouTube version of this episode. Make sure you share it. The best thing that you can do for us is spreading the word about this podcast to other people and leaving a review for us on Apple Podcasts. Not to mention, if you got a little $3 to spare every month, you can sign up on our Patreon. You would be watching this podcast, 3-4 days early? You guys will also be getting bonus episodes, which we're going to start working on soon. And not to mention, our Patreons get shouted out every single episode. So shout out to the $15 and up Patreons. Hey. Y'all are the realest. Hey. Yeah, I got an Instagram shout out coming out soon too. But thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you guys right back here next Tuesday on the Good Up Podcast.
Bye.
Good Up is hosted and produced by Deidre Ritter and Hayaiza Quinones Ivory, and is a proud member of the Kickin' It family. Find us on all social media platforms at Good Up Pod. Use hashtag Good Up Tuesday to continue the conversation and get access to exclusive bonus content at patreon.com/goodup podcast.